Well, good morning, everybody.
And good morning.
A very happy Christmas. Lovely to see you all. Lovely to see the young ones, the old ones, those of us in between. Praise God. Hope you've had a good beginning to the day. I know some of you started your day very early, from what I gather. But there we are. That's all part of the joys of it, isn't it? I wanted to share a little bit this morning about the visit of the wise men to Jesus, and following on a little bit from some of the things that Peter was sharing at our traditional readings and carol service last Sunday evening, when he talked too about Bethlehem, you remember, being the fulfillment of the prophecy given by Micah many hundreds of years before. It is an incredible thing, isn't it, that God should reveal to a handful of men, we don't really know exactly how many, but many hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem by a star, by some astronomical significant event that we don't really understand. There's been lots of things written about what the star was. Was it a comet? Was it a special planet? So on. It doesn't matter. But God put a star in the sky that these wise men recognized to be significant, about a baby that was going to be born a king in a land hundreds of miles away from where they were. Astonishing. And God directed them by the movement of this star. Peter said, I wrote it down when I got home, he said it was a cosmic sign for a cosmic event. I like that. Amazing. God should do something in the universe. Mind you, he did make it, of course. But God did something in the universe that could be revealed to a handful of people about a baby who was going to be born a king. But in a land that was not their own, he was going to be born king of the Jews. And so they went to Jerusalem and they ended up in the palace, which is where I suppose they would expect to find the king. And of course they got King Herod, who was alarmed and disturbed. And he did something that I think is quite remarkable. He called the scribes and he called the people that understood the law and the scriptures. And he asked them, where is the Christ going to be born? This is a heathen, hostile king, recognizing that the Christ was going to be born. And the scribes said, and they talked about the prophecy, as we heard last week, about Micah. So the scribes were able to go into their Old Testament scriptures and recognize that Christ the King was going to be born in Bethlehem. These are amazing things, because as we heard last week, this scripture was written 200 years before Jesus was born, and yet they could recognize by reading their scriptures that he was going to be born, and he was going to be born king in a place that was just a little town. And it is astonishing that nobody recognized him. Nobody saw him. The penny didn't drop with so many of them. When the wise men came out from the palace, they saw the star, and the star took them to the exact place where the baby Jesus was. And it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Joy that they found difficult to express. Joy that they couldn't contain. Joy beyond words. And of course, so much of the Christian message, so much of the message of Christmas is about joy. Joy to the world, we sang. You remember that when Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, it says the babe in Elizabeth's womb wept for joy when Mary entered into the room. What an amazing thing that was. And then you remember that the shepherds were out on the hillside and the angels came, and they came and they brought a message of great joy, glad tidings of great joy. In fact, the literal rendering of that, I understand, is this, that they announced a great joy. And I can imagine that somehow God the Father was in heaven waiting to announce this great joy that was going to come to the world, that his son was going to be born. How wonderful. And so they came, and they came, and they came and found him in the house, the Bible says, so he must have been probably maybe more months old than a babe in Bethlehem, probably in a different location. That's really incidental to the story. But they came and they worshipped him. And you remember that the Bible says they opened up their treasures. That's a great thing to do, isn't it? When we come to the Lord Jesus and we've thought about the great gift of God, one of the things that we can do today is open up our treasures and worship him with them, whatever they are. And for the wise men, they were remarkable things. They were gold, they were frankincense, and they were myrrh. And I want to just speak for a few minutes about those few things. They were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, of course, has been known from earliest times and has been treasured from earliest times. You can read about gold in the second chapter of the book of Genesis. It was found in the gardens of God right back in the beginning. And gold, of course, has always been associated with wealth and status, hasn't it? If you go inside somewhere like Buckingham Palace, you will go through rooms and rooms where there is gold. Gold is associated with the king, with wealth. And in the case of the Lord Jesus, gold was associated with his deity. It was the great expression, it was symbolic, that this baby who was going to be born was actually, as we've already said, he was a king, he was the Messiah, he was in fact the Son of God. This incredible statement that Christians believe concerning Christmas, that it speaks of the time when God, the eternal Son of God, became a man, took on human form, and came in the likeness of man into our world. What an incredible thing that is. I don't think anybody says it better than Wesley, and we've already sung it this morning. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Or here's another line of his. Our God contracted to a span, the length between my thumb and my finger, a baby size distance. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Wesley again, he laid his glory by, he wrapped him in our clay, unlocked by human eye, the latent Godhead lay. See the eternal Son of God, a mortal Son of Man, dwelling in an earthly clod, whom heaven cannot contain. Stand amazed, ye heavens, at this. See the Lord of earth and skies, humbled to the dust he is, and in a manger lies. The gold speaks of his deity. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. Jesus became the babe of Bethlehem. They also brought frankincense to him. I know a few weeks ago I was reading a book. It's a book called Heat. I like the heat. It's about Ranulph Fiennes, who's the greatest living, possibly ever, British explorer. And he was traveling and he was recounting the stories of his traveling in hot climates. I'd already written this book, read his book called Cold. This was Heat. And in it he described how he came across frankincense trees. He came across them in Oman. And at the time of Christ, they were probably considered apparently to be the most valuable source of frankincense. And did you know that frankincense was traded across the East African and Asian areas, and it was more valuable than gold or any other commodity? In fact, Marco Polo wrote of the great cost of incense and reckoned that the people that dealt with incense were able to make profits of 600% because the demand was so great across the Roman Empire, and that was because they used it for incense in all their temples. Did you know that frankincense today is still a booming export for the health and perfume markets of the world? Did you know that frankincense came from trees that were very odd shaped, they were gnarled, they were hard, and the frankincense came by people making slices into the bark of these trees. And the vegetable resin that oozed out was collected 3 days later when it was at its most wonderful, and then it was transferred into incense. And frankincense is the most wonderful picture of the life, the purity, the character, the priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know, when he came as God from heaven and lived on the earth as a man, he lived this perfect, holy, pure, beautiful, lovely life. A life of fragrance. A life of incense. Do you know that American scientists analyzing frankincense have isolated anti-inflammatory, anti-carcinogenic, and antiseptic properties which today are applied in numerous medications around the world? The life of Jesus is healing. The life of Jesus is beautiful. The life of Jesus is something we thank God for. But they also presented not only gold that spoke of his deity, and frankincense that spoke of his beautiful life, but they offered to him myrrh. And myrrh was also made from a tree, and it was gathered. And myrrh was often used with aloes and cassia and other fragrances, and was then always used in embalming. In fact, you remember that, if you know your scriptures, that Nicodemus, the wealthy man from Jerusalem, when Jesus had been crucified, Nicodemus came and took him down from the cross along with Joseph of Arimathea, and Nicodemus anointed his body with myrrh and other spices. Do you remember that when Jesus was being crucified, they came and they offered him vinegar that had been dipped in myrrh to dull his pain and to dull his awareness of what was happening to him? But remarkably and wonderfully, Jesus refused to take the myrrh, so that he went through all that he went through on the cross in the full consciousness of what he was doing, bearing my sin and bearing your sin, so that we could be put right with God. How wonderful. So myrrh is linked to his death. Myrrh was a foretelling that Jesus didn't just come as a baby to live a wonderful life, but he came to die for you and for me. I was reading a few weeks ago in my daily reading Psalm 45, which is one of these remarkable messianic psalms. It portrays the coming of the Lord Jesus. And it talks about heaven being like an ivory palace, a palace full of ivory, wherein there's wonderful fragrances and incense, beautiful spices and perfumes. And it brought to my mind a song that, I don't know whether my sister will remember this, but we used to sing around the piano at home with my mum and dad. On a Sunday evening, after we'd had tea, we had people in our home before we went to the evening meeting, we used to sing songs around the piano, and this was one of them. And I looked it up on Google, and I saw that it was sung by Bev Shea at the early Billy Graham Crusades. Bev Shea died a few years ago, he was 103. You know the man, Cliff Barrows, who was the musical director of the Billy Graham Association and their rallies, he died just a few weeks ago. He was 93. And Billy Graham is still alive, still worshipping and serving the Lord at 95. But on Google, you can hear Bev Shay singing this song. And just how, this one verse, how it goes, out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe. Only His great eternal love made my Savior go. Hallelujah. Myrrh is related to His death. I'm going to finish. But you know, with frankincense, one of the remarkable things about Jesus when He was born, He lived such an obscure life. He just lived with His family in Nazareth. It was a small, despised town. He was just a carpenter. He was an ordinary man. He was unknown until He reached the age of 30. And thinking, you know, of those mulled and gnarled and odd-shaped trees of frankincense. In the other great messianic psalm, or what psalm, the messianic proverb, sorry, not proverb, prophecy of Isaiah, this is what Isaiah says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, that means appearance, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. When you look at those frankincense trees, you never think that such wonderful perfumes could come until those slits and marks and wounds are made in the trunk. And 3 days later, death, resurrection, 3 days later, they scooped up that wonderful resin. How wonderful that Jesus was born. How much more wonderful that He lived a glorious, holy, pure life to take to that cross where He could die for the sins of the world, where He could die for any one of us here today, all of us here today. We praise Him. We bless Him. We honor Him. We worship Him. We can't bring gold, frankincense, or myrrh, but as we were reminded just a week or so ago, we can bring ourselves, we can bring our hearts, we can bring all that we are. Lord Jesus, I worship you. Thank you for coming to me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for bearing my sin. Thank you that you're coming again for me, one day in glory and power. Amen.